This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Cambie podcast. Happy Valentine's Day, and thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. Masks will be optional for students and staff at the Cambie School District starting on March 31st. Superintendent Aaron Downs announced on Friday, following the news that the statewide mandate would be lifted that day, and local districts would be free to implement their own policies. Since the announcement, we have worked with our local public health authority, school board, and staff to determine what this will look like in Cambie, Downs wrote. Based on the input we've received, face coverings will be optional in the Cambie School District beginning on March 31st. While the news that the state's indoor mask mandate for schools would end March 31st, and likely before then in most other public spaces, was welcomed by parents, advocates, and other opponents of Oregon's coronavirus rules, which are among the strictest in the nation, it did come with some strings attached. Districts that choose to make masks optional will have to come up with new plans to avoid an outbreak of the virus among students, while also doing whatever they can to keep students in school. They'll no longer have access to the Test to Stay program that had allowed unvaccinated students to stay in school even after exposure as long as they test negative 3 to 5 days later. Instead, unvaccinated students will need to quarantine immediately after exposure according to the new guidance from OHA. Down said Cambie school officials plan to collaborate with the local health authority on issues like contact tracing and quarantine. They also expect to receive updated guidance from the Oregon Department of Education and will revise their protocols accordingly. We are grateful for our wonderful students, families, and staff who have partnered with us to make this a great school year so far, Downs said. We appreciate your continued partnership as we wear face coverings indoors at our schools until March 31st, as required. The surge of people hospitalized or infected with the more contagious but less severe Omicron variant is over, according to the latest forecast from Oregon Health and Science University. The forecast, which influences the policy of the Oregon Health Authority, indicates that Oregon reached its peak and is now in a downtrend, and the number of Oregonians infected or hospitalized has started to decline. The downward slide is expected to continue to mid-June, when the state could reach pre-pandemic levels, provided another variant doesn't emerge, the forecast shows. The Oregon Health Authority said on Monday that it would lift the state indoor mask mandate by the end of March, or possibly before, depending on hospitalizations. If the mask mandate were lifted now, hospitalizations would surge anew, according to the forecast shared by OHA. On Thursday, 1,007 people were hospitalized with COVID statewide. Hospitalizations in Coos, Curry, Douglas, and Lane counties continue to rise, while those in the Portland area to the coast are declining slowly. Hospitalizations remain flat elsewhere in the state. Oregon's hospitalization rate at the peak was more than one-third lower than the average for the U.S. Another sign that the pandemic might be waning, the rate of positive tests is declining. Last week, 18% of tests were positive for the virus, compared with 22% the week of January 9th. Healthcare officials continue to urge people to get vaccinated and boosted to ensure they're protected against the virus and other variants. A total of 83% of adults in Oregon have received two doses of the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine and one dose of the Johnson & Johnson. Nearly 43% are boosted. Canby High School Principal Greg Dinsa will retire at the end of the 2021-22 academic year. He announced this week, bringing to a close a career in education that spans almost three decades. He has led Canby High since 2015, including during both years of the COVID-19 pandemic. In a newsletter announcing his decision Wednesday, he called it a privilege and an honor to serve as principal for the past 7 years. "I am proud of our accomplishments," he said, "from expanding academic programs to providing engaging and relevant co-curricular activities. Canby High has been a leader in innovation and cultural change while maintaining time-honored traditions. With the unwavering support of our community, we've been able to navigate recent challenges and continue to provide all students the experiences needed to learn, succeed, and prepare for the future." A San Francisco native, Dinsa graduated from St. Mary's High in Berkeley, California, and went on to receive his undergraduate degree at the University of California in Berkeley. He later earned a master's degree in teaching and a continuing administrator's license from Lewis and Clark College. But first, shortly after graduating from UC Berkeley, he would begin a 22-year career with the United States Marine Corps and Reserve, including 4.5 years of active duty. He worked in intelligence and retired in 2006 as a lieutenant colonel. Dinsa also served as an agent for the Federal Bureau of Investigation in Los Angeles before he and his wife relocated to Portland. He was an associate principal for Tualatin High School before accepting the top job in Canby in July 2015. He replaced Pat Johnson, who himself was retiring after 11 years as principal and 31 years as an educator in education. Mr. Dinsa has dedicated his life to public service for 4 decades as a Marine, FBI agent, and educator, Canby High School history teacher Bob Hammett said. "I am thankful to have worked for him, and the community of Canby has been very fortunate to be graced by his leadership. He has been an inspiring leader for students and staff alike." Dinsa was an energetic and colorful figure on the CHS campus, a frequent fixture at football games and other school-wide events. He was also well known for his tradition of playing the bagpipes on the first day of school and graduation, usually in a traditional Scottish kilt. His unique brand of leadership was never more needed or appreciated than during the pandemic, Hammett said, which derailed graduation plans and other regular traditions that would have celebrated the class of 2020 and has continued to impact many aspects of school life in the months since. In the last couple of very challenging years for educators in Canby, he has been a rock, holding steadfast to the ethics and values that all educators should share, he said. He will be sorely missed by all at Canby High School. Superintendent Aaron Downs said the search for Dinsa's replacement will follow established protocols, including seeking input from students, families, and staff. The Canby High School Theater Troupe qualified for the state festival after a strong showing at the regional competitions at Park Rose High School this past weekend. The Canby Thespians, which are officially organized under the team name Troupe 632, qualified in the small group musical category and solo musical category, along with 2 technical entries. The small group number was choreographed by Stephanie Haynes and featured Bryn Spoon, Bri Voss, Audrina Brown, Bailey Inskeep, Chana Chanasayak, Michelle Carrillo Barajas, and Zach Goldbeck. The group performed the iconic earworm Cell Block Tango from the hit 1975 musical Chicago. The solo musical performer was Peyton Dougherty. She performed the modern classic Lost in the Brass from 2018's Band Geeks, A New Music. "We had such a blast getting to go to regionals at Park Rose High School," said Spoon, a CHS senior who also serves as treasurer for Troop 632. "This was the first big in-person theater event since the pandemic started. and being able to present pieces we had been working on for over a month and watch tons of other amazing performers was a dream come true. The Oregon Thespians and Park Rose did a great job of putting together a fun and safe environment for us all to share our love of theater. The Oregon Thespians 2022 State Festival will be held Thursday, March 31st through Saturday, April 2nd, 2022 at the Salem Convention Center, Elsinore Theater, and Grand Theater in Salem. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif & Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country POD. After a year of online school, virtual graduations, postponed or canceled, athletic contests, tournaments and seasons, and a world of uncertainty, the Canby faithful enjoyed a return to semi-normality Friday night with a long-anticipated comeback, the 11th annual Pack the Gym Night. Students crowded the stands, cheering their hearts out and hoping to see their Cougars take down the vaunted Lake Oswego Lakers. They would not go home disappointed. Thanks to a career night from senior Alex Evans, the Canby Cougars boys basketball team came back from what appeared to be an insurmountable deficit, down 4 points with 7 seconds left, to defeat the Lakers in one of the wildest finishes in Canby history. Through the first half, Canby kept the Lakers' offense, led by star power forward Winters Grady, a 6-6 freshman, at bay. But in the second half, things would get interesting. Lake Oswego exploded out of the halftime break, beginning the third on a 12-4 run to tie things up. Grady alone had 11 points in the third, as the Lakers took a 1-point lead into the final quarter. It would be a fourth quarter for the ages. Grady was held scoreless in the period thanks to a strong defensive effort by Mikey Gibson, but hot hands for both sides would have no trouble scoring the rock. Peyton Myers hit two clutch shots on Canby's end, while the Lakers collected buckets of their own from Carson Reno and Christian Rowell. Neither team trailed by more than four as they traded the lead three times and the crowd roared. The would-be knockout punch came with time running out and the Cougars trailing 57-59. Oaks drove past the defense and put up an 8-foot shot that bounced just wide and into the hands of Lake Oswego. After a Cougar foul, Sorina Torabi sank both free throws to make it a two-possession game. Lake Oswego led 61-57 with just 7 seconds left. The game should have been as good as over, but it was Pack the Gym night and anything could happen. After a Canby timeout, Evans raced down the court and fired a jittery three that touched every inch of the rim before falling. 61-60, Lake O. Canby intentionally fouled to get possession back, which looked promising after Torabi missed the free throw. The Cougs rebounded and called timeout. One little problem, though, Canby was still behind and a mere 1.3 seconds remained on the clock. What happened next is still hard to believe, even for those who watched it live. Evans took the inbounds pass and threw up a desperate half-court heave, which missed the mark, but unbelievably, he managed to draw the foul. He went to the charity stripe for three free throws with the game on the line. I had confidence going up there, Evans said afterward, but when his first attempt rattled out, even he needed a moment to collect himself. I wanted the crowd to feel the suspense, he later joked. The tension was as thick as February fog, and every Cougar fan in attendance seemed to hold their breath as Evans coolly stepped back to the charity stripe and nailed the next two shots in quick succession. Here's what it sounded like. Evans had scored 5 points in 4 seconds to seal the improbable comeback and complete Canby's sweep of the visiting Lakers. Evans finished with 24 points, including 6 threes, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and those 2 indispensable free throws. Oaks chipped in 10, while Myers battled early foul trouble en route to 9 points on the night. Grady led the Lakers with a 17 in the losing effort, while Reno finished with 12 points. After dropping a narrow game to number 1 to Walton, 16-2, 6-1 TRL, a few days earlier, as well as a heartbreaking 2-point loss to Tiger the week prior, Canby head basketball coach Cred Evans and his squad finally had things break their way to earn their first signature win of the season. "The team is playing really well right now," Evans said. "It was nice to be on the other end this time so they could have success and have that feeling." In preparation for their games next week against Lake Ridge and West Lynn, the Canby head coach knows there is still more that can be done. "We have a lot of work to do, though," he added. "The Three Rivers League is no joke. Everyone's playing good right now. That's why all the scores are close." For photos and video, find this story on our website or follow the Canby Current on Facebook.
Okay, Tyler, I need to tell you about the latest giveaway from Direct Link.
Okay.
So I know you're not the biggest sports guy.
Not at all.
But let me paint you a little picture. Portland versus Oklahoma City in the first round of the playoffs. 10 seconds left, all tied up with the series on the line. Damian Lillard is at half court, Paul George in his face. Dame, cool as ice, lets the clock drain down to nothing, then launches this ridiculous bomb from the logo, nothing but net. And the crowd goes insane. Here, check this out.
Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer, Damian Lillard! Are you kidding me?
Okay, I gotta admit, that's pretty cool. Can you imagine being there?
I know, right? Well, thanks to our friends at Direct Link, Canby's local reliable internet provider, you can.
I can? Yes!
Well, no, actually, you can't. But one of our listeners can.
Oh, well, okay.
That's because we're giving away 2 100-level tickets to the Blazers versus San Antonio on March 23rd.
Wait, I don't even know what that is, but that sounds so cool. Level 100 seats?
That's right. Only a dozen rows back from the court. This ticket giveaway is exclusively for our podcast listeners and readers, and you can enter to win right now at directlink.coop/canbycurrent. The giveaway will end on March 2nd, and the winner will be randomly chosen that day.
Okay, but I do have one serious question.
Okay.
Can I seriously not enter to win these tickets?
Okay, well, Tyler, all the rules are on the website. Just visit directlink.coop/canbycurrent, and good luck, everybody.
Damian Lillard for 50 points. Good night.
It's back. Hosted by the Canby Rotary Club, Canby's inaugural Daddy-Daughter Dance was one of the first local events to be postponed due to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in March 2020. Now, 2 years later, the need for parents, kids, families, and the community to come together, reconnect, and have a little fun is greater than ever. Here's Canby Rotary President and event organizer Ray Keene.
So the Daddy-Daughter Dance is really just coming online at, I think, a really important time for the relationships that are really core in our community. When you think about opportunities to come together with a father and a daughter to connect, or other meaningful relationships, we're really open to all coming. So, you know, when those relationships are kind of when they've been hammered the way that the last couple of years have, you know, really impacted all of our relationships, I think it's really an important time for dads and daughters to be able to get together and do something that's really special.
So join us for an evening of fun, food, magic, music, and of course, dancing from 6 to 9 p.m. Saturday, March 12th at the Ackerman Center in Canby. The night will include a chocolate fountain, refreshments, arts and crafts, a photo booth, a live magic show, and other surprises that are sure to amaze and delight the little princess in your life. Tickets are $30 per couple and $10 for every additional child, with all proceeds supporting the work of Canby Rotary and its charitable efforts in our community. All are welcome at this fun, friendly, and inclusive event. For tickets or more information, visit canbyrotary.com. All right, for the Cammy conversation today, for a special Valentine's Day themed interview, we are so delighted to be talking with Vern and Darlene Hopper out here in Hope Village. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
You guys have been married for 70 years, coming up on 71. Is that right?
That's correct.
Do you think that you're the longest married couple in Cammy? Do you know of anyone longer?
I doubt if we're the longest. I don't know. There's two others that just met 70 here at the village, but we're a few months ahead of us.
Okay, so you're still the longest tenured here at Hope Village. So mm-hmm. How did you guys meet?
Well, that's a long story.
That's what we figured.
He was raised in Montana, and yeah. I'm a native Oregonian.
Montana.
Yeah, and I at the end of World War II, it was hard for a teenager to get a job. And I had an
Sounds
uncle.
Familiar.
I had an uncle that lived down the road from her, and he got me a job on a dairy farm out of Monitor. And one day he helped her dad haul grain during harvest. He was going up there, and he says, "Would you just, well, go up there with me." And I went up there, and here's this blonde, blue-eyed gal that was, wow, she's a pretty good looker. And anyway, yeah, we went to different schools, and in the summer then, when I was working on that farm, she'd get me a date with her girlfriends, because she was going with somebody. And then one time she didn't have a date, and I didn't have a date, and I says, "We just as well go out." And that started it.
Dar, what did you think? Do you remember when you first met Vern here?
Oh, yeah, that was way back in when I was still in high school.
Yeah.
But we each went on to college for a year.
Yeah.
Most of our friends, or I shouldn't say most of them, many of our friends were married right out of high school.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did each do a year of college, but then
were you dating? You were seeing each other at the time, or just
well,
friends?
We really weren't dating during that time.
Later
because
on,
because I had another boyfriend in college. He liked to dance.
But then we got together, and she was going to Oregon State, and I was going to college in California. And it was 645 miles and 13 hours driving time between the two campuses.
Yeah.
And that didn't work.
And you didn't have Zoom back then.
No, that was the old crooked highway. So we had to rectify that. And I got down on one knee and said, "Would you marry me?" And she accepted.
Wow. How about that?
On my 19th birthday, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, right shortly after we were married, then he was drafted. So, anyway,
in Korea.
Korea.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, I thought I'd stay with my folks. I grew up on the Barlow Road. Mm. Went to Oak Lawn School. A lot of people don't even know what Oak Lawn is.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
A little country school, one room, all eight grades.
Yeah.
And anyway, then we decided we didn't like to be apart. And of course, they didn't pay me anything, you know, $25 a month, didn't I get? Or is that what you got?
I got 25, you got 65.
Oh, okay. But I was fortunate. I was a stenographer. I mean, I took, I wanted to be a teacher for, you know, shorthand and typing and commercial. And so then I was able to get to, I worked for the state then before we left as a stenographer, but then I was able to get on at the quartermaster corps down at Camp Roberts. So
okay.
We were able to survive.
Gotcha. Able to be together. So you went to base and training and all that with him?
No, she worked for quartermaster on the base.
Gotcha.
Because she had the skills to get that job. And
wonderful.
I ended up as an operations NCO. So
okay.
And we got to live later on after we got to live off base.
So. Yeah, yeah. So you stayed stateside for
stateside because the education I had, they put me in division faculty as an instructor. So.
Oh, interesting. Okay. What was that like?
Well, it was different.
Yeah.
You know, you had they had to train the trainees. And,
yeah. 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 What did they think of your demand that you had to take on your wife as find some work for her? No, I'm kidding.
That's what blew away his hearing, though.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, from being on base and.
And 105 howitzer.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
And so, mine's hereditary, so we're both. Can't hear. Well, he does okay with the cochlear.
But, yeah.
And I can't tell her I love her because she can't hear, so I yell at her.
You guys are doing just fine now. So how long were you in the military? Was it the Army or?
Army, yeah. Yeah. For 2 years, I was in from 52 to 54.
Okay. And then came back out here or what happened?
Came back out here and
Tried farming,
and then I went to work for the Department of Agriculture, and I worked for that for 31 years.
After 2 years of working with students, with officers, you decide, I'll try vegetables for a while. Yeah. What did you do for ag?
Well, I was a director of two different field offices for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Mm. And then the last 15 years, I was in the state office for the Department of Agriculture, and fancy title. Mm-hmm. I was the chief of the administrative division for the state.
Wow.
It's essentially like a COO.
Yeah, yeah. Did you work with hops very much, with your last name being Hopper? Or?
No, well, I was in the administrative end of it, not actually out in production.
Gotcha.
But in the administrative end of it. For the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, you must have seen a lot of things change in that industry, the technology and just land use and all kinds of stuff.
All the technology.
Economy.
And the crops like wheat when we were farming then, you got 30 bushel an acre. Now they're getting over 100 bushel an acre, different varieties and fertilizer.
Yeah, the yields.
Yeah, tremendous changes in the way things are doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you down then closer to Salem, or have you stayed pretty much in this area?
Oh, well, yeah. She grew up here, and of course, I lived here since, the folks come out in 42, and then we moved out in 44 from Montana. So we've been around here a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So while Vern was down at the office and checking yields, what were you up to, Eileen?
Raising
three kids.
That'll do it.
What'd you say?
Wonder what you were up to.
Well, I was going to tell him about, Bremer Corner out there.
Yeah.
That was, my uncle had a dairy, and our farm was a mile and a half down south of that. We were 3 miles north of Monitor. Mm. So I grew up, and I don't know, you might know, my sister's Beverly Knutson. Did you know any of the Knutsons? There's a lot of.
I definitely recognize the name. Yeah.
Well, anyway, and my grandmother was within a mile, so, and my mom's folks, so I had relatives all close, and we had always a close family.
She's related to half the county.
Yeah. I know a few folks like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, like I said, I wanted to be a teacher, and so I got my job at the state in Oregon as a stenographer, and then with the Quartermaster Corps. Well, then we tried farming, and of course we started having a family, so we have 3 sons and 6 grandsons. And
that could be handy on a farm.
And then, of course, with his job, we were trying to count up the other day how many times we moved. Mm-hmm. Actually, we spent, our kids pretty much grew up in the Madras area. Mm-hmm. And so we've had, all over the state. But anyway, then I started working at the schools when the kids got older, and in fact is, I ended up, when we moved back to the valley, I ended up working at Canby High School as administrative secretary, and that's what I retired as in 88, wasn't that
She graduated from Canby High.
Oh, I graduated from Canby High in 1949, way back then. Lots of changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's probably grown significantly, mm-hmm. the district.
Oh, house. Yeah, this yeah. used to be just a little tiny community. You could drive all the way from where our farm into town and might not even need a car. And Barlow Road was only paved on one side, so everybody drove on the pavement. Uh-huh. So you had to be really careful of not having a wreck.
Pay attention, yeah. Watch out for tractors, probably. So the high school then would have been the original building, yeah? Just that with the like the white columns and everything?
Yeah, it was the original building.
The high school? It was only, what did it look like back then?
It was the original building. How many was in your graduating class?
Oh, in a class, I think we're 88 or something like that. There were four that graduated in the eighth grade from the Oak Lawn.
Yeah.
But I think it was
That's how big like an actual class is now. Like a science class might have 88 kids in it.
And then that our class was a little smaller because North Marion.
Yeah.
Some of the kids that went to Canby had to go to North Marion about that time, too. Mm-hmm.
So you've lived in different places. You wound up back here, and kind of it seems like you kind of chose to come back to this area. Why?
Well, my job brought me back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but we had places.
Yeah, but my job brought us back to Portland area. The Canby area.
Yeah, and then we tried to live at the coast for a while too, but then with insurance and we had to come over here for so many doctor appointments. So then we decided maybe this was the time to change, and so we moved here in 2005.
To Hope Village. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think of it?
Well, for us, it's been great, but now over the years with the prices and all that, so who knows?
Well, you have a lovely home, and this coffee is fantastic.
You better try my homemade cookies.
I will. As soon as we're off the recording here, I'm going to dig into those for sure.
But we've gone through a lot. Everybody has. You know, there's been... You know, we went through floods and losing our little one and only granddaughter, but we now have a great granddaughter and two great grandsons. And three wonderful daughters in love. So it just took a while.
What helped you through some of those challenging times that you guys have experienced together?
What
helped you through some of those
difficult times? Our commitment to the Lord, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, and we've always been as active as possible, and we've always been members of church. I know that isn't always what you need, but you need to be a believer. Yeah. So that's got us through a lot of tough times, mm-hmm. And still does.
Yeah, I bet. Do you have a church that you go to, or do you have a denomination?
Yeah, we go Community of Hope in Nelsonville.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marriage Encounter, we did all that, too. You probably know about what's our kids camp? We've helped with all
Royal
those.
Family kids
Royal camp. Family Kids Camp. Oh, are you familiar with that?
I have heard of it, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we helped with that till we got too old.
How long?
Over 10 years.
Okay.
Wonderful. And they're still going to have camp in spite of all the this business with the pandemic, too. Yeah. I think they're going to be down at Canby Grove, probably. I'm not sure this year if they are or not.
Cool.
But they have met down there, too. Yeah. So.
Special place in my heart for Canby Grove. That's where I met my wife. Mm-hmm. We were both counselors there, and that's where we ended up getting married as well.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So speaking of marriage, 70 years, what's your guys' secret?
commitment to each other and commitment to follow, I guess, our marriage vows. We said for better, worse, sickness or health or whatever.
Yeah.
And we made a commitment to each other and the Lord that we would make it work. And we have. We have the faith and the trust in each other. And it's just been
And our parents.
Yeah, and we had the right kind of upbringing. Our yeah. parents gave us a lot of heritage that way. And we, yeah, marriage, of course, you've got your up and downs. You have to have that commitment and love for each other, but you have to be able to forgive each other, too, when you have a disagreement, and that's going to happen, as you know.
And even at his age, he's planning a mystery trip for me day after Thanksgiving. He after doesn't tell me where we're
going. Not Thanksgiving day.
I mean, oh, did I say? See, I've got some dementia, but... After Valentine's Day.
Okay, keep the mystery romance going. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's going to tell me about that off the podcast. I want to hear the secret.
Okay, and he brings me flowers. He surprised me. There's one of the bouquets he brought a week ago or so you never know. Yeah. And he teases me. Oh, and we play cribbage, too. Yeah. Yeah. We have a cribbage tournament going all the
Just
time.
The two of you. Okay. Who's a better player? Can you tell me, or I don't want to start a fight here.
What I didn't.
Who's the better player?
Well, he's ahead right now, but overall, I think I'm ahead.
Okay.
Over the years, it's terrible. It's embarrassing. But I got a 5-game lead on her right now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, you got to take advantage of that. She says she has a little dementia at times. You can take advantage. Oh no, I won this one, Darth. You didn't win that. What are you talking about?
And we also did square dance and round dance, too, for a number of years.
Oh, square
That's
dance.
A great thing.
Yeah, not still? Don't still go out to the dance floor?
Well, we can't anymore. But since she broke her neck 3 years ago.
Yeah, after breaking my neck. Oh, mm-hmm. We got rid of our boat, and he got rid of his ATV.
Yeah.
Now we just got each other. We're blessed. We've been so blessed to have both in our 90s and 70 years plus, and we're active as much as we can be.
Absolutely.
And it's just been a wonderful 70 years, that's all.
Yeah. We've been blessed, and we do miss our RV, though. We, after retired, we ended up visiting every state, and then, of course, we went to Mexico and Alaska and Hawaii, kind of in between, but no foreign country.
What are some of the places that you remember, or memories that stand out from that trip? I'm sure you probably saw, Grand Canyon, Mount Rushmore, places like that?
Yeah, well, we snowboarded for about 20 years.
Snowboarding is different.
Yeah, looking at the Olympics.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you know what that is,
we
spent a lot of winters down south.
And
all over, been in all 50 states.
Yeah.
And about half of Canada, been to Newfoundland. And we hosted in ghost towns. We hosted in parks, national parks, as host in the parks. Mm. And we did that for several years.
I think the outstanding was when we got to do the...
inventory at Humboldt Trading Post.
At Humboldt. And we did all the Anasazi baskets and the old Western things. And boy, that was quite a privilege.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been married for a little over 10 years, and I feel like I'm still learning a lot and learning a lot about compromise. Do you feel like that's something that you guys noticed over the years that you had to learn to change or compromise in different ways?
You have a lot of that.
Yeah.
You have to compromise, and you have to have that compassion and patience for each other, too.
Yeah.
When you have to compromise, you know, where do you meet? In the middle, you go to her side or my side or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we decided a lot of things, like before we got married, one checkbook, one account.
Yeah.
She had a church and I had a church. Decided to go to her church. We had lots of things that were decided before we got married.
Yeah.
And of course we've had to decide a lot of things as we've gone along too. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But it's compromise. It's got to be a deep love and a commitment to the Lord and to each other in order to make 70 years. Otherwise, you're not going to do it.
And he's the he's the organized one, and everything has to be done like this, and I'm more laid back. So he's had to make adjustments, and I keep trying to make adjustments.
You'll get it one of these days. It's only been 70 years. Okay, so I'm getting deep love for each other, commitment to each other, to the Lord, and cribbage.
And patience.
And patience. Got it. Okay. Any advice that you would give to younger couples, folks maybe thinking about getting married or who are newlyweds?
They need to discuss these issues beforehand.
Yeah.
And marriage is just not sex. Marriage is a commitment to each other. And I think a lot of these young people need to decide that. Hmm. You know, we just don't want the physical part of it. You have to have the spiritual part and the love for each other to make it work.
Yeah.
And all these young kids, they need to decide that, talk about that before they even think about getting married.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Darlene?
Yeah, well, I go along with that. And we, out of their six grandsons, three are married. Mm-hmm. And one's engaged. I keep saying, come on, I want to see this ceremony before I die. And, well, they want to buy a place first. So I said they need to prioritize. So, but I thank the Lord that I am married to him. I mean, I had other opportunities, of course, and even when I said yes, I was a little hesitant, but I prayed about it, and the Lord knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that.
That's one of those things that has really changed, hasn't it? Where you guys got married so young, you were in college, you didn't have jobs, you didn't know exactly where you were going to live or what you're going to do or how you're going to pay the bills. And that was common back then and very uncommon now. People want everything checked before they kind of make that commitment. But how did you handle that? Was that scary to kind of make that decision back then, not knowing exactly how you were going to pay your bills and what you were going to do?
Well, I just, what I was concerned about, if I chose the right man. That's what I was worrying about. I guess in those days you got married and we were from ambitious families. I guess I didn't worry about whether we could get a job. Of course, you didn't get much paid or anything.
Right.
But you worked those things out later. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lived on 25-cent macaroni dinners for a while from the PX.
In the commissary.
Wow.
25 cents for a box of macaroni and cheese.
That won't get you much macaroni nowadays. And Vern over here, he never had any doubts about picking the right lady, sounds like, so.
No.
No. Well, Vern, Darlene, thank you so much. It's been such a delight to talk to you today. Thanks for sharing your story. Anything else that you'd like to share with folks? Anything else that you'd like to say or share with folks?
No, I don't think so.
Just make sure that you have a deep commitment.
Yeah, I still love her.
And absolutely. We're friends.
Yes, I can tell.
That's important, too.
That's obvious. Well, happy Valentine's Day to you both, and good luck on your mystery trip coming up. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Yeah, we go and stay in a motel now, two nights.
No, we're going to stay in a cabin.
Oh. Hey, we stayed on the cabin on the McKenzie River. That was a great deal. Do you and your wife like things like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, on the McKenzie River, they have these old cabins. That was last summer, wasn't it? We did that.
So, Tyler, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Got any big plans with the missus?
Oh, you know it.
That's what I thought. A little candlelight, nice dinner.
Mm-hmm. Check and check.
Romantic music, champagne, and of course, books.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, man. Ladies love books, and books are a great gift that show you value and appreciate everything about that special someone in your life, including their mind.
Okay, I'm with you. One problem, though. What if I don't know what book she would like?
Not to worry, my friend. The Book Nook on North Grant Street in downtown Canby has you covered with their Blind Date with a Book promotion. You just pick out the genre and they take care of the rest, sending you home with your choice of a new or used pre-wrapped hardcover or paperback gem that she or he or they are sure to love.
That does sound pretty cool and romantic.
Yep. Plus, Book Nook has a fantastic selection of chocolate, candy, cards, and other gifts for all of your Valentine's needs.
And that's not all. If you're in need of a special outing on Valentine's week, look no further than Trivia Night at Wayward Sandwiches Thursday, February 17th. They're partnering with the Book Nook for an evening of romantic literature-themed trivia, awesome bookish prizes, and lots of fun.
For all things books and more, check out The Book Nook, 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue, or visit them on Facebook, Instagram, and at booknookcanby.com. And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
Can Be Then is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. Open daily. Find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant in downtown Canby, or connect with them on Facebook or through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. Longtime listeners will remember our previous series recounting the incredible life of William Old Bill Brown, the kid from a new era farm near Canby who grew up to become, for a time, the legendary Horse King of the West. Overcoming adversities that would have broken the hearts of weaker and more conventional men, he amassed an empire of almost 40,000 acres across four counties in central and eastern Oregon that he owned outright, with an additional 100,000 acres he controlled through water rights. His prized herds of wild horses numbered as many as 10,000, only a rough estimate because Bill kept no records, and he kept upwards of 30,000 sheep and other animals that formed a lucrative wool business. His annual income in those days, as near as anyone could tell, was $140,000, a sum worth several million today. With his lands, animals, and other operations, we would roughly estimate his net worth at somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 million in today's dollars. In 1914, he built a fine new home on his main headquarters at the Buck Creek Ranch. It had 8 bedrooms, an office, indoor plumbing, and a dining room table that sat 12. It was known as one of the most finely furnished homes in the western half of that country. It was a home built for the wife and family that he, sadly, never had. Today, in honor of Valentine's Day, we share the story of Bill Brown's lost love. The tale comes from Roy Stauffer, an old Union rancher and former homesteader in the high desert, as recounted to author Ralph Friedman in his 1970 book, A Touch of Oregon. Roy was one of the few people who knew Bill in his prime, when he acquired the reputation of being a colorful character, even eccentric. There was a story that Bill Brown had only one sock during those hard times, Roy remembered, referring to the exceptionally hard winter of 1889, when Bill Brown lost all but 500 of his 10,000 sheep. They say he wore it on one foot one day and the other foot the next day. Roy worked for Bill as a horse wrangler. "There's no one sport in the world as exciting as rounding up wild horses," he said. "If you're raised in that country, you feel a certain attachment to the wild horses. When you've got a good saddle horse and you take off after a wild horse, I tell you, it's fun. It's a chase." Old Bill once had a chase of his own, but the prize wasn't a wild horse. No, it was something much more precious than that. The love of a young lady, and her name was Myra Shields. It was a story, according to Roy Stauffer, that had never been told before. "He fell deeply in love with her," Roy said. "Bill Brown came to our house once and stayed about 3 hours and was telling my dad all about his love affair. He said that when he was out herding the sheep, he could see her flying above them like an angel." Oh, so what happened? Well, I'll tell you. You see, Myra was a good 26 years younger than old Bill. According to biographers, Bill always wanted to marry a younger girl so he could, quote, "breed her in the fall and lamb her in the spring." Not surprisingly, his way of thinking wasn't acceptable to any lady that he met. Myra was the daughter of Judge Thomas and Julia Garrett Shields of Silver Creek and the oldest of six children. Bill was mighty stuck on her, as they said in those days, and when a man owns 40,000 acres of land and 10,000 wild horses, I guess it's only natural that he might start to think he can get whatever he wants. He came to see her wearing a nice brand new suit that he had just bought in Burns. Legend says that he actually wore it over his old clothes with his work pants showing through. "He had one suspender over the new suit and one over the old clothes," Roy recalled. Then Bill made his mistake. He had this diamond locket that he'd had custom made in the shape of his brand, the famed horseshoe bar. It was a symbol that was immediately recognizable anywhere in the high desert, and he guarded it with a ruthlessness that would have impressed Steve Jobs. He refused to sell horses to his neighbors or anyone who planned to use them in Oregon, and so any horse in the state bearing the horseshoe bar was presumed to be the property of Bill Brown. Bill took this special diamond locket to Myra, clasped it around her neck, and said, "Anything that wears the horseshoe brand belongs to me." It was a marriage proposal, but not exactly the stuff romantic tearjerkers are made of. Pro tip this Valentine's Day: if you're looking to impress your sweetheart with an expensive gift, don't accompany it with a metaphor likening her to a beast of burden. Myra ripped the locket from her neck, breaking the chain in the process, and threw it on the ground. Heartbroken, Bill picked up the locket and left, never to see her again. Instead, Myra married Joseph Vanderpool 3 years later. The couple had six children and moved to California in 1918, where Myra died in 1961. It's said that Bill was so in love with Myra that after her rejection, he began seeing images of her in the face in the sky while he was out herding sheep. Much later, he told Roy's father that he hadn't gotten out of life what he thought he should, by which Roy guessed he meant a wife and kids. Once one of the most eligible bachelors west of the Mississippi, Bill Brown never married. He died in 1941, 85 years old, and completely penniless. You know, it's kind of a funny thing about Bill Brown, Roy Stauffer later mused. He was a mighty independent man and didn't like anybody to put a halter on him. He could appreciate wild horses, wanting to be free. And here he's treating Myra Shields, who was as independent in spirit as he was, just like a stock animal. I suspect Bill just didn't know better. Maybe that was the biggest tragedy in his life, being too close to sheep to know how to deal with a woman. Oh, well, happens to the best of us, I suppose. Happy Valentine's Day to all you lovers in Canby, and much love and appreciation to all of you singles as well. We'll catch you next time on Canby Then.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888-906-3432. Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then.
Wait, what?
And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.